With us right now, Senator John Braun is with us. He represents Southwest Washington's 20th Legislative District, parts of Cowlitz, Lewis, parts of Clark and Thurston. And we're so glad to have Senator Braun with us. Senator, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the new session here. And did you have any reflections on Governor Inslee's State of the State address?
Yeah, I'd say... You know, he basically said, hey, we're doing pretty well, and I just fundamentally disagree with that. Look, we're at 25-year highs in crime, both violent and nonviolent crime. We're the worst in the country in terms of the number of law enforcement officers we have, in terms of affordability. Even with 40-year high inflation, Washington has been higher than the rest of the country. Housing prices or some of the lowest home ownership rates in the country, because we've, you know, and this has all happened on Governor Inslee's watch. We've gone down over, you know, time and time again. We got a gigantic homelessness problem, again, occurring primarily on Inslee's watch. The number one cause of death, if you're under 60 in our state, is a overdose. And on Governor Inslee's watch, we are not fine. We have some big problems, complicated problems to solve, and to show up at the State of the State and say, hey, it's all good here. We'll keep doing what we've been doing. This seems like the wrong answer to me.
You know, one of the things that I'm not really appreciating about the current society today when it comes to politics, and this goes for both Democrats and Republicans, I feel like truth doesn't matter anymore. It just matters if you can convince your side of whatever, you know, truth is, you know, whatever you want the truth to be. And so Governor Inslee can come out and say, I've done great with mental health, and that may not be true. And Republicans do the same thing, certainly not a lot in Washington because there's not a lot of them around here, but just in general. And it's almost like truth doesn't matter anymore. It matters, you know, what you say to your tribe, what you say to your group, and if you can get your group to just go along with, you know, with what your version of the truth is. And it's really discouraging, to be honest, you know, because it's like truth doesn't matter anymore.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and certainly I share some of your frustration. I mean, I believe the truth does matter, just to be clear. And that we ought to be honest and call it as close as we can to like it is. But there is certainly, you know, and it's a challenge on both sides of the aisle, no question about it, a kind of a tribal culture that says, well, you know, even if it's not right, I'm still not going to change my views because I'm committed to one side or the other. What we need to do is get past, you know, convincing, you know, just cheerleading for our side and refocus on solving problems in our state. And I just talked about a few of them. These are real problems, and frankly, they affect Republicans and Democrats the same. A lot of these, you know, and solutions, you don't have to change your, you know, principles to work on some of these solutions that are really in the middle. Again, public safety, there's nothing partisan about public safety. We all want our families and our kids and our communities to be safe. There's nothing partisan about wanting our state to be affordable for people to live in. There's nothing partisan about wanting to make sure our children have a quality education. These are all issues we can and should be working on. And if we focus on solutions, I think maybe some of what you're talking about, where we're preaching to the tribe, you know, takes a back seat, and we don't rely on that. But I would, the other part that I'd say, you know, to a certain extent, it takes, you know, it takes better effort by politicians. We should own that. It also takes citizens to stand up and say, look, I'm tired of that type of behavior. I'm going to elect folks that are focused on problem solving.
Yeah. Governor Inslee is talking about this $4 billion initiative to build housing. He says housing is critical with all the issues we're facing around homelessness and mental health. Is this kind of a done deal, this $4 billion package he wants?
I don't think so. I've been trying to figure that out. I mean, we just had the hearing in the Senate today. There were certainly some supporters. But let's just put this in perspective. We've done this sort of thing in our state's past, but not nearly at this scale. In the early 2000s, I think, led by Governor Evans, we did, $500 million to invest in higher education facilities. And like I said, we've done that over time. But it comes at a cost, and this is 10 times anything we've done before. And what looks like about $600 million per year in ongoing cost to pay the debt service. And that's just a lot of, that's a big chunk, even a, 64, maybe larger billion-dollar state budget. That's a big cost to just take out beyond the debt limit. The other thing I would tell you about this is this doesn't really solve the problem. Does it help? Well, maybe, but does it help enough to make it worth taking out a $4 billion loan? I'm not convinced. We're spending, it's actually hard to get this information, but we're spending what looks like between $400,000 and $500,000 per dwelling for affordable housing. You can do the math. At that price, you get less than 10,000 homes out of this $4 billion. We got somewhere between a 250,000 and 300,000 home dwelling shortfall in our state, and they're talking about we need 1 million by 2044. This doesn't come even close to solving that problem. We got to think more broadly, and we got to involve the private sector. We cannot fund this from the state side and expect to be successful. We have to create an environment where that private builders can build affordable homes, and frankly, dare I say, make a profit, because that's what will get us back on track. Big private investment will get us back on track, not even a record-setting public investment like he proposed.
How many people would in an initiative project like that, $4 billion? How many people would make out really, really well in terms of just ancillary folks, right? I mean, people who aren't directly involved who need housing, but other people. How many other people would make out very well with a project like that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm not sure I can get you the exact answer. This is one of the questions that came up in committee. This is why we're pressing for, hey, what's the cost of affordable housing, and where does that cost go? How much of it is regulatory that is just, you go to local governments for services provided? How much of that is administrative, meaning you have lawyers and engineers and accountants that are doing work that's associated with public funding for a project like this? Historically, that's been pretty high, and people, developers in this line of work, they do pretty well. This is why you got to press for just exactly how many homes are you going to get for that, and what's the cost per home? Because without that knowledge, you got no way of keeping accountability on this. You can't, because your instincts, I think, are right, that there is the huge risk of a big windfall for some group of folks for work that has almost nothing to do with actually building homes.
Yeah. We're talking to Senator John Braun out of the great city of Centralia. Man, I tell you what, that's a great, great community down there in Southwest Washington. I wanted to ask you, Senator, what should the legislature do to help students who have fallen behind during the prolonged shutdown of our state schools?
Yeah, that's a great question. An important issue that, I worry isn't getting enough attention. We have students who have, most of our students, in fact, only 1 in 3 students in Washington State schools right now is passing their assessments in reading and math at grade level. Think about that. That's pretty bad. And if you look at the students who have some sort of disadvantage, whether it's academic or financial or emotional or social, they're doing even worse. So we have this huge, huge issue out there in our school systems, and I don't think we're doing nearly enough, nearly quick enough to get them back on track. And of course, that's a generalization. Different school districts, are doing differently, but we got to be doing more. I'd say there's 2 or 3 things that we should be doing right now. One is we should be investing in intensive tutoring. There's lots of ways to do that, either with assistance from organizations that help with tutoring videos, or with in school systems where you have older students tutor younger students. That helps that helps literally at every grade level. It's very economical. And then summer school. We should be investing in summer school. This is not the first time in our that students have fallen behind, maybe, but just never at this scale. And summer school has always been one of the ways we get kids back on track. That takes an investment. We should make that investment. And I also say this is a time to be thinking about more broadly about learning loss. And you know, it's a, the tragedy from the pandemic also reminds us that we have significant loss every summer, and we ought to think about, you know, revisiting the scheduling of our school year to get, you know, more schooling year round, whether that means adding more days or simply spreading them out so you don't have a 3-month break. Whatever, however we do it, it's worthwhile looking at the school year as well to solve our immediate problem related to the pandemic long term.
So the state of Washington has is just plummeting in its rankings in education for K through 12. I mean, what? How do you feel about that? I mean, you're an elected official, and I mean, I'm sure that doesn't feel good that on your watch that Washington is absolutely tanking when it comes to education.
Yeah, it's tragic. I mean, and we've worked, you know, just to follow up on what you said. Right now, you know, 10 years ago, Washington was generally ranked in the top 10 in the country in terms of public K-12 public education systems. Right now, the most recent report I saw has us average, but frankly, we're still falling. And I talked just a minute ago about the performance of our students. This is disappointing at many levels. And so those of us who worked really hard during and in response to the McCleary lawsuit that found the state in contempt for not properly funding basic education, we worked hard on a bipartisan basis to deliver, you know, billions of dollars into our school systems with additional policy to ensure, you know, try to ensure results and accountability. And sadly, you know, that we finished that work in 2017, and sadly, since then, you know, that work has been methodically undermined by changing, you know, the way we fund school systems so that we're now once again headed towards unconstitutional reliance on local levies, by taking out testing standards, by taking out accountability standards for teachers, and then, you know, top off with pandemic where we had to fight tooth and nail just to get our kids back in school after over a year, and the learning loss that went with that. It's very frustrating, very disappointing, and yeah, we should be unhappy with the kind of results we're getting, and we should work to hold ourselves accountable and do better.
I keep hearing about, and I listened to Governor Inslee's interview today that he gave, and he talked a lot about, and many do. They say, well, the COVID this, pandemic this, COVID this, pandemic this. And so much of that is just self-inflicted wounds. I mean, it's particularly when it comes to our kids' education. I mean, the data showed, and the data that continues to come out continues to reinforce this, that it was all self-inflicted. We've done this to ourselves. Is there going to be any reckoning or responsibility on politicians who did this to our kids?
Well, I like to think so. We had vigorous debates. We pushed hard in 20, you know, when this first started in 2020, you know, when they first shut down schools, I think everybody was in agreement. Look, we don't know a lot about this. We should be careful. But really, by 2 or 3 months in, we knew, and certainly by the beginning of the 2021 school year, we knew for certain that this was a very low risk for children. They needed to be back in school. And yet we fought for months, you know, almost a year afterwards, you know, with vigorous forefights where the Republican minority was pushing for efforts to get kids back in school, knowing based on science, based on the data, and we were resisted. And eventually we got there, but it took way, way too long. Now, you know, and those decisions were made by the Democratic majority. They're tragic. We know the results they've had. And I think, but it's up to the voters to hold folks accountable. Whatever their decision, now our job is to get after fixing. Fixing it has to do with the solutions I mentioned earlier. You know, additional tutoring, additional summer school, focus on the learning loss and measure the learning loss recovery so that we're not just pretending. This is the other thing I worry about is instead of actually helping and getting our back on track, prepared for, you know, college and careers, that we just say, well, wherever you're at's good enough, and we're gonna move you on. We're not really gonna spend the time or the effort to give you the skills you're going to need to be successful in life, and that would be truly truly tragic. Frankly, we can't allow that to happen. So we can certainly talk about recriminations, but in the end, in the elected world, it's up to voters to do that. Well, we should be, as elected officials right now, I believe we should be 100% focused on solving the problem. That's what matters right now today.
Should parents have more options when it comes to how they, everyone, they put their tax dollars in, right, to pay for education. Should parents have more options what they do with their children's education here in the state of Washington?
Absolutely. And I think parents are waking up and recognize that they deserve more options for their children. I put it in perspective, almost a third, I think it may be over a third of the students in Seattle don't attend our public schools. And it's not cheap to go to private school in Seattle. This is $20,000-$30,000 a year, and yet parents of various means are finding a way to afford that because they want something for their children. Everybody option. People, and that's why I've been a longtime supporter of charter schools. I'm increasingly a supporter of voucher choices for parents to make sure their children have every opportunity they can get. Because people who can afford it have already made that decision. They've moved on to private school. Or they've moved on to other options. People who can't afford it aren't being given the options they deserve.
I mean, in a realistic world, Senator, will the voucher thing ever fly here? Is that ever going to go?
That's a good question. If you asked me a few years ago, I would say no. I mean, we are historically, Washington has been very proud of almost public education. And as earlier, go back 10 years, we had good reason to be proud. We were among the best in the country. We are not now. And I think, frankly, the pandemic opens a lot of parents' eyes to the shortcomings, and there's more and more openness to other options like vouchers. So if you asked me a few years ago, I'd say I don't think there's a path. Today, I think there might be one. But keep this in mind. We spend, nearly $15,000 per year per child. If you were a parent and you said, if I had that kind of funding to put towards with other options, whether it's private school or homeschool or any, all the options out there available by technology and other reasons, there's a lot of parents would make different decisions about how their kids get educated, and they deserve that choice. I mean, I don't trust any more to make good decisions about their children's education than parents. They care the most. They're the most likely to make a good decision that leads to good outcomes.
Yeah, let's talk about climate. What are your thoughts on the climate conversation right now in our state?
So I think, this is an important issue. Climate, environmental issues, it gets kind of portrayed in some of the media that only Democrats care about the environment and Republicans don't. That's 100% not true. We all want clean air. We all want clean water. We all want good salmon returns. The issue isn't about whether we care about it or not. The issue is how we get there. And the difference is where we've got these kind of pie-in-the-sky plans that, frankly, have not produced much in the way of results from the Democratic majorities and from Governor Inslee. We're pushing for practical solutions that solve real problems, that get after, use the Puget Sound cleanup as an example. We spent decades now, talking about cleaning up the Puget Sound. In a lot less time and, frankly, less money, we could be looking at, rebuilding the sewage treatment plants that dump into the Sound. That'd make a real difference in a measurable period of time. Stop talking about things and getting on with doing them. And then beyond that, I'd say, we do things that are sustainable. We have a lot of discussion these days because it just went into effect on the Climate Commitment Act, which is simply a cap and trade system. We call it a cap and tax because the way it's written, it's really just a giant gas tax. And it's very regressive. It's least affordable for those who are living the closest to poverty, frankly. And it's got a terrible record where it's been tried in other states. It's done almost nothing to truly curb the use of carbon. So I'm not against having less carbon in the world. I don't know anybody that is. But I want to do it in a way that doesn't hurt people that are already struggling to afford to live here in the state of Washington. We got to do it in a sustainable, reliable, and affordable ways. And it's so reformable and sustainable that the current Democratic solutions are missing on.
What are your thoughts on Governor Inslee's desire to get rid of cars, gas cars?
I think it's unrealistic. I think that, again, it goes back to not everybody can run out and buy a new electric car. They're just not affordable for, frankly, the vast majority of Washingtonians. And to say, not only do you have to do it, you have to do it on a my timeline. And then on top of that, not have a viable plan to build out the energy grid and the base load that we need to charge those same electric cars. So are electric cars the future? Well, I don't know that one way or the other. I have genuine concerns, and my concerns and the sort of thing that need to be addressed in a timely and predictable manner, not by some dictate from Governor Inslee that, thou shalt not drive, internal combustion cars because I say so, but I'm not going to do the, I'm not going to do the work it takes to make that successful. I just think it's not doing its job. When you just put dictates out there and you don't do the work, the underlying work to make sure it will actually function as designed.
Yeah. It seems like we're, again, I'm in no way, obviously a scientist or know about these kind of things other than what I study, research, all that. And I feel like I'm I'm independent, fair-minded person. And, it's almost like with COVID too, where you have all these scientists, some say this, some say that. Some were wrong, some were right, and so on and so forth. And in many ways, the climate conversation can be like that too. I mean, I've read scientists who disagree with other scientists on climate and what's going on. And I mean, we have a very well-known scientist here in Pacific Northwest, Cliff Mass, who vehemently disagrees with some of the things that some of our politicians will talk about around this. And again, that's above my pay grade, but the some of the conversation around like the trillion dollars needed to kind of redefine our society around that, it would be pretty incredible if we put in the type of resources that many are saying we have to avoid disaster and all of us dying within the next 30 years, which some are saying. And if they're wrong, right? That's like some of the COVID scientists were wrong. If they're wrong, I mean, man, are we going to really, do some of these, initiatives that some are asking us to do, even though we know that, maybe it's just a theory at this point. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think folks like, Cliff Mass are invaluable as we have this discussion. And I think that we, and he'll tell, I mean, and I think he's very grounded on this. One, science, by its very definition, is not definitional. It doesn't say, this is the truth, and it shall be the truth because I say so. It says, this is what I think. They go look at the data, and they try to prove it, and then even after, if they do prove, hey, that we think we know this, they continue to look at it. So everything is up for discussion. So I think that the folks who say, this can't possibly be discussed because science says it can't be discussed, just don't understand science. That's not how science works. And I think Cliff does, a much better job of, a much more eloquent job of talking about that than I can. But he would, what I've heard him say and others who are very knowledgeable say, look, there are certainly climate challenges out there. And we need to deal with them, but this is not the crisis that's being proclaimed by the other side, and you get the sense that the crisis is being claimed simply so to make the changes they would otherwise want to make, not to respond to the crisis. So yes, we should be doing to respond to changes in the climate. We should be doing things to make our communities and our state more resilient. Certainly we should be doing all that stuff. But do we need to drop everything? Do we need to pursue, frankly, unaffordable and unsustainable initiatives in the name of climate? No, I don't think so. I think we need to take a more balanced approach to actually get after solving, you know, individual problems in a way that, that don't, you know, run people out of Washington because they can't afford to live here. We get carried away with the marketing and get away from the science is what I think.
Yeah. Senator, thank you so much for joining us on Live from Seattle today. We're grateful you took the time.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Senator John Braun, representing Southwest Washington's 20th Legislative District. It includes most of Cowlitz and Lewis counties.